As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the winter's bestseller pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breast, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
What'd they say?
Earliest is tomorrow.
No, what? That's way too late.
I know.
Hey, dudes, ask them if we can ride in the baggage compartment.
The baggage compartment?
We'd suffocate.
Dogs ride in there all the time, man. They don't suffocate.
Jesus Christ.
Holy shit.
I have a way. A way to protect Max. From here. This is Max. When one attacks, he will be in her mind. But I can do that too. I went into Mama's mind, into Billy's. I can go into Max's. She can carry me to Vecna. I can piggyback. I can protect her from one, fight him from here.
Mind fight, righteous.
Wait, so you actually think this can work?
A bathtub would help.
Yeah, gotta be clean to enter the mind.
What? No, it's a sensory deprivation tank. It helps her calm down and focus on her powers.
Wait, we just passed a motel.
Yeah, but they won't have enough salt.
Well, how much salt are we talking here, my dudes?
Well, it depends on the size of the tub, but a lot.
Does 600 pounds suffice?
You know a place that has 600 pounds of salt?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. It'll work.
What will work?
I know of a magical place that has all you need, my brave little superpowered friend. That mind fight is on. Come on, vamonos, let's go, pronto.
Stranger, danger, talking stranger things. Together forever, we're loving Stranger Things. It's Stranger Things forever. Rewatching season 4 from the start to the finish. It's Stranger Things forever.
Yeah.
Every podcast we do will cover just 10 minutes.
Let's go,
Stranger Danger everywhere. I hope that you people still care. It's time for me to do it. Let's get to it. Come on, everyone.
We pause a moment for a dramatic effect, and then...
Greetings, Stranger Friends, and welcome back to Stranger Things Forever, where we are in the final chapter of Stranger Things 4, and we are talking 10 more minutes of The Piggyback, where today we actually find out what the title of the episode means.
I don't know if this is the earliest we've found out, like a mysterious name for an episode title, but the fact that it's the big finale and we're like, the piggyback, what the hell does that mean? Well, we find out exactly what it means in this 10 minutes pretty early on. In fact, it's the clip that I play at the beginning of this episode. And speaking of this episode, I am not going to waste any more time getting in the next 10 minutes because last time, it really was like less than 9 minutes of episode because I did include the opening credits. Those are the rules. It's in the charter. It's in the rule book. And you get that first little ta-doom at the beginning. So there's a few seconds right there. So it's like less. It was less than 9 minutes of actual episode. But today I feel like the 10 minutes, even though it's a lot of, I think it's a lot more setup still, because you're at the beginning of this episode, you're waiting for payoff, and oh boy, does payoff come. But even though you get a lot of setup in this episode, in this 10 minutes, I feel like it is jam-packed because you go from one side of Hawkins to another side of Hawkins. You go into Nevada and you go into Russia. I think that covers everything. You're in a bunch of different quadrants, I should say. Quadrants means there's only four. Well, then I think you're in four quadrants of locations. I don't know. As I said, I'm not going to waste your time. And then the first thing I did was waste time. But enough of that. Let's jump into the next 10 minutes of The Piggyback. So we pick up really right at the end of the opening credits where we are in some side road gas station auto repair center. Looks like they're fueling up the Surfer Boy pizza van and everyone's stretching their legs. So they must have got away enough that no one's hot on their tail, you know, the law or the government. And they're just kind of chilling out as Jonathan's on the phone trying to find any way to find a flight to Indiana. Any way possible. He says it doesn't even need to be a one way. Like they'll pay a round trip ticket just to get it one way. And it just needs to be one person. That's it. Just 11. They would put her on this plane. Now imagine if it worked. Like, we found something, sir. And they just put 11 on the plane and they just go, okay, we'll meet you there. And they drive there and 11 gets there. But that's not the case. Even though Argyle had this idea of, you know, what if you go inside the, in the baggage compartment? They're like, we'd suffocate. Argyle's like, no, dogs go there all the time. They don't suffocate. And they're like, oh my God. Like, Mike's like, holy shit, what the hell? And then 11 was kind of wandering off on her own thinking, but she looked at this billboard, and it was a billboard about like sightseeing off of some route, some exit, and it showed the back of a family, and in the image there was a kid on the back of, I think, one of the parents, piggyback. It was holding on in the back like a piggyback ride, and that must have just put the thought in her head, oh, wait a second. I know how I can connect to Max because I've done this before. And we get a shot of her entering her mother's mind. We get a shot of her entering Billy's mind. And she realizes, wait a second. And then she goes over to the boys and says, I have a way. And that clip is played at the beginning. She says, I have a way to protect Max from here. And then she draws out, it's cute, the little pictures she draws like in the dirt on the window. She says, okay, this is Max. When one attacks Max, he'll be in her mind, but I can do that too. I went into Mama's mind, into Billy's, I can go into Max's. So she can carry me to Vecna. I can piggyback, I can protect her from here. You know, I can do it right here. And they're like, oh my God, that's amazing. Like, you think this will actually work? She said, you know, a bathtub would help. And Argyle has no idea what's going on. He's like, yeah, right. You got to be clean to enter the mind. Now, I was going to say, what has Argyle seen so far that may have caused him to believe in all this stuff. He's seen all the violence. He's seen, them being chased. But I'm trying to think of what he's seen that's magical. And, well, I guess you could say he saw Eleven pull that helicopter down, right? So, obviously, he now is a full believer. And he's not freaked out by it. He's just like, yeah, man. But his first thought is, oh, yeah, she's got to be clean to enter the mine. And they're like, no, it's a sensory deprivation tank. It helps to calm her down and focus her powers. And Will's like, oh, we just passed a motel. They're like, yeah, but there won't be enough salt. And Argyle's like, how much salt are we talking, my dudes? They're like, well, I guess it depends on the size of the tub, but a lot. He's like, would 600 pounds be enough? They're like, you know a place where there's 600 pounds of salt. He's like, yep. He studied, like, he looks at 11. He's kind of judging her, like, size. It's like, oh, I know of a magical place that has everything we need, my brave little superpowered friend. This mine fight is on. Right? Isn't that how he said it? And they're like, come on, let's go. They don't even ask questions. They just all jump into the van and they all head off to wherever the hell Argyle is taking them. He's the only one who seems to know at this point. But they're putting their trust in them because really, what other option do they have at this point? So we jump over to Hawkins, to the Creel house. And it's like these kids are like little geniuses because they're bringing, I think they're bug light. They look like bug lights, the lights you'd put in your yard. And all of a sudden, they'd get a fly or a mosquito. They'd get you so you could enjoy being outside. But they're not trying to catch a bug. They're trying to catch a giant pest, the biggest pest of them all. But I love the use of these instead of just regular lanterns, mainly because they're blue and it just looks cool. Now, maybe these are just blue lanterns, but I would think that these are bug lights. Why? Again, maybe they were cheaper and the lights, look cool. I don't know. But it also just makes it a little spooky. There's a lot of like dark blue tones that just come off spooky. Now, even though the clip at the beginning of this episode is from 11 explaining the piggyback, I thought the coolest visual was this in this 10 minutes was this lantern. And I love they're walking around the house. You see Max, you see Lucas, you see Erica, each walking around trying to, what are they doing exactly? They're trying to find where Vecna is, where the power is, where the light would surge. So Max thankfully still has Kate Bush playing, but Erica walks into a room and all of a sudden the lantern just flares up and her eyes are like, what the hell? And I loved that visual. So that's why I chose that as the pick for this episode. So she, her eyes are like, oh my goodness. And she goes to her brother, holds up a note that says, found Vecna. And they go get Max and they all head back to her light. She left her lamp exactly where it happened. And they all go over and see the thing flaring up. Max gets the closest to it, but all of their lights are flaring up and getting brighter now. And then Erica writes down a second note. I like that they're being so quiet because they realized at this like surge of energy area that that where they were able to communicate, with the kids, the older kids, when they were in the upside down, that you could hear them because you could hear Dustin faintly, but you could hear him. And when he screamed, you could actually hear him. So they're being as quiet as possible. That's why they're writing all these notes down. So she writes down phase one with a question mark and Lucas gives the nod and she heads outside across the street to that little playground area that I believe we saw Henry terrorizing monster. Like, isn't that where he left dead birds for his sister to find? That playground area right across from the Creel house. She heads to this like rocket ship looking playset, jungle gym, whatever you call it. Don't really know what she's doing there yet, but unfortunately she's spotted. And who is she spotted by? I want to call him Weasel Redneck Man, a grown man who goes and reports children to other children. Excuse me, high school senior Jason. Yeah, I want to tell you because you're our leader. Like, what a loser this guy is. Yes, I'm saying that with the most New England accent I could think of. What a loser. That's right. You can use that. You could call someone a loser. Imagine you call someone a loser and they're like, why would you say that? It's so mean. But if you call someone a loser, oh, I mean, it hits better. Doesn't it? Try it right now. Friggin' loser. Now I could say it a lot easier. Like it slips out of my mouth. Easy. No problem. But if you just remember, it's not. So that guy who goes and reports to Jason, yeah, he's a loser. And speaking of losers, and speaking of Jason, he looks more psychotic than ever. He, like, okay, Billy was at least possessed by the mind flayer. He looks like, he's starting to look like Arnie in Christine, but at least Arnie was possessed by a haunted car. This guy has nothing except his own self to blame for how over the deep end he's looking. Like, there's no connection between Vecna and him. In fact, I don't think we ever... No, that'd be interesting if we found out that Vecna was poisoning him to try to kind of use him as defense. Not to kill him, but to use him... to kind of, I don't know, take the, well, I guess Vecna doesn't know the kids are hunting him, I suppose. He only knows the ones that are sad, and those are the ones that he can kind of, manipulate. So, but it would be kind of cool if we found out, then at least you could say, well, I can only blame half of Jason for, being a prick. The other half of Jason, is at least, being manipulated by a monster, but that's not the case. There's not two halves to Jason. Imagine if there were. So he's just randomly shooting guns, out in public, no problem. Nobody cares. And he's shooting them at like those football run tackle dummies, whatever you call those things. I don't know. I never played football. Unless you count gym class, senior year scored 6 touchdowns in the flag football game. So I'm not bragging, but it did happen. I tried to score a 7th on a slant to win the big game, but friggin' Chris, someone saw me. I gave a little wink. I went in, boom, guy hit the ball out of the way, and I was the loser that day. Well, I really wasn't because I, again, scored 6 touchdowns. It was in the gym, so it wasn't like outside or anything, but so the elements were in my favor. Either way, doesn't matter. This guy is just shooting. First of all, he's shooting school property. I don't think this is old equipment. I think this is perfectly good equipment. Next year, well, maybe there probably won't be a football program in the fall, I'm going to guess. Or I guess, well, no, it is the fall. Wait a minute. If it's basketball weather, it would be in the winter. It's after, because at least in where I'm from, it's football, then basketball. So football is probably already done. Now we're on to basketball. When does swimming come in? I don't know. Either way, doesn't matter. My point is that there probably isn't going to be a football program at Hawkins for a while now. So I guess they don't really need the equipment. But again, that's destroying school property, and he should be fined for that. But other guy comes out. I really don't know his name. He's always going to be other guy. And he's like, hey, I think we got something. It's like they're, so it shows that weasel redneck prick went and called up his local high school students and said, listen, I found something, get your guns and head on over. But Jason's like, send Ryan. I don't want to waste any more time with those bullshit leads. He's like, I don't think you're going to want to send Ryan on this one. You know, the murder house over on Moorhead. He says, yeah, what about it? Then we cut away from Hawkins. In fact, we don't go back to Hawkins for the rest of this episode. We cut over to Soviet Russia. Hopper is giving everyone else the skinny on what that phone call was. He was talking to Owens's right-hand woman, for lack of a better term. And he says, I'm supposed to be dead. I had to explain to her for a few minutes that I was actually me. and he wanted to talk to the doc, but she said he's indisposed. And then she gave him the info on what's been happening, how Hawkins is in danger, how Eleven is with Owens, or was with Owens, and now she's gone off to fight some evil in Hawkins, and they're all off the grid right now. And they're like, he says, you know, the girl, and Antonov is like, this your daughter, American? He's like, yep. And they're not alone. Joyce's kids are with them. So Murray's like, okay, I see the mood is bleak here, and understandably, but I don't think we need to consider the very real possibility that the mystery woman, in fact, is KGB. So he's thinking, okay, maybe she's lying. And Joyce is like, no, she's telling the truth. When we were in the labs, those particles we saw, they were alive. And if they're alive, that means there's a gate open in Hawkins. And Dimitri's like, a gate? Well, what does that mean? It's like, it means we need to go right now. What is taking so long? And they're thinking, Murray is saying, I don't think he's trying to fix it. I think he's trying to sabotage us. And he's like, or he's stalling on purpose. He goes, well, you need to convince him, put a gun to his head if you have to. Murray's like, I mean, it's not like we can get there now anyway. Even if we somehow get out of here, the earliest we'd get there is late tomorrow. And Joyce is like, no, we don't have to make it back there. Not tonight. Whatever evil, like whatever it is, we know it's connected to the hive mind. And now, and like, what if it is? What if there's more than one hive mind? Like there's Russian monsters in one hive mind and American monsters in one hive mind. Luckily, there isn't. And she's like, and we know part of that hive mind is in Russia. So we don't need to get back to Hawkins to fight it. All we need is to destroy those particles. And Hopper's like, yes, that's right. And if we're lucky, it'll hurt enough to give the kids an upper hand. And Murray's like, wait. Are you talking about the particles inside the prison? The prison we just escaped from? And they're like, we broke out. We can break back in. He's like, are you kidding? The entire Soviet army is looking for us. And Hopper's like, yeah, that'd be the last place that they would look for us, all right? Murray's like, this is crazy. This is like, what are you doing? And then they mentioned, didn't Yuri say something about a flamethrower? And Hopper picks up and he's like, oh yeah, yes, this will do. So Murray is totally, you know, like against this. He thinks it's crazy. But he's like, I don't care what it takes. Oh, Hopper tells Dimitri, I don't care what it takes. You get Yuri in line and you get that bird in the air, okay? Breaking into the prison is going to be fine, but breaking out, that's the hard part. That's why we need an airlift, okay? And this, he tells Dimitri Antonov, this is where you come in. And he tells him, you know, you need to get that thing going. He's like, all right. He was like, whatever it takes. So now it seems like the crew that worked so very hard to break Hopper out of prison is heading right back to that very prison. So we jump back to our Pizza Bros and Eleven, the Nevada crew, whatever you want to call them now, and they pull up outside that Surfer Boy pizza that was set up so long ago. Well, at least it felt so long ago in Stranger Things Forever. But when they were driving away from Susie, heading to Nevada, that's where Argyle saw a billboard. It's like, whoa, I didn't know they were expanding. And that little, just you think of throwaway, silly nonsense, you feel like there's nothing like that. And like Stranger Things doesn't do that. If they're going to set something up, even as minuscule as that, like why have that there? Why have it there at all? Because it is, it's necessary. It's needed. And it pays off because they pull up outside of Surfer Boy Pizza. And was it Mike who said, you got to be shitting me? And I was like, trust me, dudes, trust me on this one. He goes inside and like he sees a guy that's basically like another version of him. It's like, serves up, my dude. Whoa, nice shirt, my dude. Like they're talking dude back and forth. And the other guy's like, thanks, my dude. Listen, I love to feed his fellow Surfer Boy, but kitchen's closed like 5 minutes ago. Whoop. That is time right there. That is the second 10 minutes of the piggyback, where, again, not a ton happened as far as action, but it is a lot of setup for the stuff that's going to be going down soon. Like, we have in Nevada, we have 11 coming up with a plan. They can't get to Hawkins physically, but she believes she can get there mentally. And their plan is her, you know, using her powers to get into Max's mind and then using that to get to One. Now, she doesn't know that they refer to him as Vecna, so she just assumes he's One. In fact, the last time she saw him, he was just this evil-looking orderly. So she's not going to be ready for his new complexion, I think. But she needs a tank, and she needs Salt to really dig in, because this is going to be one of the biggest, mind teleportations, whatever you want to call it, ever. And really, for her, I think it's the biggest one ever. Now, she did visit Max to just kind of see what they were up to, but this is on another level, and she definitely needs a sensory deprivation tank for that. But for that, she needs Salt. And of course, this is where Argyle's like, hey, he came through twice. First, he saw those tire tracks, and now he is there to come up with an idea for where to get a ton of salt. And where are they going to do that? At a Surfer Boy Pizza. And she needs to get into that tank so she can help save her friends in Hawkins. Meanwhile, her friends in Hawkins are hot on the trail of Vecna, and they're ready to start phase one of their plan. However, Redneck Loser Face calls basketball Loser Face to kind of put a little monkey wrench in their plans. So I have a feeling that things aren't going to go as smoothly as our Hawkins friends hope they will inside the Creel house. And then, of course, all the way in Russia, to complicate things even more, they realize we can't get to Hawkins in time either, but there must be a way we can help. Oh, yes, I think there is a way. You know that prison? Let's go back there and destroy those monsters. That's their way that they think they can help the crew in Hawkins. So you got someone in Nevada helping Hawkins. You got someone in Russia helping Hawkins. The only place you don't have people helping in Hawkins is in Hawkins. That's where the danger really is. The worst villains, besides, of course, the monsters, are actually fellow Hawkins residents. That makes me so angry. And I can't wait to talk about what happens next. But I'm not going to do that until tomorrow. So until then, my friends, thank you for listening and subscribing. You can follow me on all the socials at Geek Mentality, except TikTok, which is Geek Mentality Mike. You can follow our Facebook pages, which is Fans on Experts. I don't do a lot there, but it's always there if you want to follow. And on YouTube, Fans Not Experts as well. And yes, every episode of every podcast I do is on the Fans Not Experts YouTube channel and available at fansnotexperts.com. But if you just care about Stranger Danger, you can go to strangerdangerpodcast.com and follow strangerdangerpodcast.com on Blue Sky. All right, that is it. I am done. I am going to go lie down and watch the rest of John Cena's Final Raw. Yeah, I watch wrestling. Don't act so surprised. Anyway, I will talk to you tomorrow, my friends. Once again, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Stay stranger, my friends. And remember, it's people like you and people like me and people unlike that redneck jerk. We are the ones all over the world. We are the ones who keep Stranger Things alive forever. Fans Not Experts.